Welcome to Ujiria, broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Sandy Springs, Georgia. Ujiria is a Greek word meaning health of body and mind in aging individuals. Ujiria Radio is a weekly show celebrating Atlanta's heroes that contribute to the Ujiria of Atlanta's elderly and disabled population. Now joining us in the studio are your hosts, Sam Grass and Brad Culp.
Good morning. It's February 24th. It's another chilly day in Atlanta. I've got Lee Cantor and Sam Grass in the studio with me. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
How are you today, Brad?
I'm trying to stay warm, but other than that, I'm okay. I'll try to keep from coughing this morning into the mic.
How's your arm?
Arm's doing great.
All better?
Yeah, I got a clean bill of health from the doctor.
All right.
So we're good. So I'm going to blow your mind this morning with my trivia.
All right. Is it Olympic trivia?
No. You know, I should have done that. I've been watching so much of it.
No curling questions?
If you're a curling expert, we'll let you talk about that.
No, I'm not.
But today, February 24th in 1582, that was the day that we started using the Gregorian calendar, which is our 365-day year as we all know it.
Yes. Who could forget?
The reason that it started today, the 24th, was because previously in the Julian calendar, February 24th was the day they inserted in February on leap year, which I don't really get that because if you add a day, it's always going to be the 29th day of the month. But apparently the reason it was the 24th was because in the old Roman calendar, which we got rid of in 46 BC, instead of having leap day, they would have leap month. So the years were 355 days long, and then every other year they had a leap month.
They skipped a month?
Well, they had this thing called an intercalary month.
Uh-huh.
So in between February 24th and March 1st, there was this whole separate leap month. So
good to know, Brad.
You know, it's hard enough to deal with a leap day, and you know, else suddenly you have an entire month on your
imagine
hands.
Imagine if you were born in that period of time.
Exactly.
You know, what's your birthday?
This trivia is becoming more and more mundane as we get into it. You know, it's just
he's fixated on calendars lately.
I guess. Well, you know, so two other bits about that. So every 100 years. When we have a scheduled leap year, we don't have it.
Oh, is that true?
Except if that year is divisible by 400, when we do have it. So in the year 2000, we had a leap day.
Right.
In the year 2100, we will not.
Mark your calendar.
Okay. Mark your calendar.
Okay, Brad. Segue to the
show. Ready to get on?
Yeah,
all right. Well, two other things. NPR is 40 today. And Abe Vigoda is 89. You guys remember?
89. Wow.
Abe Vigoda.
Still around. That's
the
impressive.
Godfather and Barney Miller.
Speaking of
seniors. There you go.
I knew.
That was the segue. It was a little obvious, wasn't it? Well, we have an interesting show this morning, a little bit different. This morning we are doing a topical show. This came as a result of an earlier show that we did and a conversation that we had with one of our guests this morning, Adrian Noble, about some of the issues in the senior population. One of the surprising issues that many of us have not thought of before was the issue of AIDS in the senior population. And so today we're going to focus on that as a topic. And we have Adrian Noble from Gwinnett County Senior Services back with us this morning. And we also have Kyle Monroe Spencer, who is the director of the HIV Prevention Program for Aid Gwinnett. And we're going to start with Kyle Monroe Spencer this morning. Good morning, Kyle.
Good morning, and thank you for the opportunity to be here.
Well, we're thrilled that you're here with us, and it's a topic that, again, not many of us have considered as something, you know, at the front of our mind, and so we're anxious to hear more about it with you. But first, if we can just start by having you give us a little background on yourself, tell us where you're from and your education and how you got involved in what you do today.
Okay. Well, I grew up in Columbus, Ohio, and right before I started college, my family moved to San Francisco. So I went to college there And towards the end of my college career, the AIDS epidemic sort of came on the scene. And being in the health sciences, of course, you know, I found it very interesting. I earned my bachelor's of science in community health. And at the time, the economy is much like it is today. So I ended up joining the Peace Corps and went abroad for 8 years. And during that time, focused on HIV prevention. And when I came back, I returned to San Francisco, did HIV prevention in the Southeast Asian community there. And in 96, my husband wanted to move to Atlanta. So I came out here, worked for a couple years with the Gwinnett Public Health Department, and then got a job as the Director of HIV Prevention Education with a local nonprofit, Aid Gwinnett. Aid Gwinnett serves Gwinnett, Rockdale, and Newton counties, and we have sort of three major departments in the agency. We have client services that provides medical care to people living with HIV and AIDS. We have case managers that support that work, helping people get the other resources they may need when they're infected with the virus, access to legal services, housing, emotional counseling, proper nutrition. And then we have our prevention department, which is the department I direct. Over the last 15 years, Aid Gwinnett has focused most of its prevention efforts on high-risk youth. We've gone into the youth detention center, juvenile justice programs, substance abuse treatment programs for young people, children's shelters, independent living programs for young people, and done a six-hour series that's been proven effective by the CDC and other entities to change young people's knowledge, to improve that, change their attitudes about HIV, but also build their skills mainly around communication. How can they communicate assertively about wanting to be abstinent or have safer sex? How can they make better decisions? So we spend a lot of time really helping young people improve their life skills around decision-making and communication so they have the ability to protect themselves as they come of age. We also do some other prevention with adults, sort of one-time safer sex workshops that we do in the detention centers and the community center setting. And we also do a very important service for the community, which is access to rapid HIV testing. With our testing services, we provide HIV prevention counseling, which is really very important because for people who come in and get tested, most people will be HIV negative, and we want them to remain negative. So we work with each person one-on-one to develop a personal risk reduction plan to help people not get infected. And then for people who are infected, it's very important that they know, because unless they know they're positive, they can't get into treatment, which is very effective. And even a step further, they can't protect the people they love from getting infected if they don't know that they're infected.
Now, HIV hasn't been in the news as much as it was, you know, a decade or so ago. Is it because it's less prevalent now?
Not at all. It's just that the focus has turned to other topics.
Mm-hmm.
Kyle, let's take a step back before we begin on the topic for today's show. Take a step back to your experience in the Peace Corps and what you were doing there and how that translates into what you're doing today.
And where you are.
Oh, okay. Well, I had the difficult assignment of Jamaica. So,
wow. Yeah. It's a dark and lonely job, right?
It really was. It actually was very difficult because when you get out of the tourist areas, there's a lot of poverty and a lot of social and health problems that go along with that. I started there doing nutrition and worked a lot with malnourished babies, getting them into the hospital, trying to get their mothers to learn how to provide more nutritious meals. But as the epidemic kind of blossomed around the world, I was asked to do HIV prevention in the clinics in the community because being a small population, the nurses and the health workers there were very shy about talking about HIV because it relates to human sexual behavior and illicit drug use. And so you know, when you're talking to people in the audience, it might be your sister or your cousin or even your mother, you know, it can be very difficult. Mm-hmm. So as a sort of quote-unquote stranger, I was much more comfortable talking about those issues than I think some of the Jamaican nurses were. And it was a very interesting culture to do HIV prevention just because of some of, you know, their cultural beliefs and some of the issues that they face. And so I really got ingrained in doing HIV prevention there. In many ways, it was much easier than doing it here in Georgia. We were actually allowed to go into the public school systems and talk to young people about the benefits of abstinence and safer sex, where it's very difficult to do that here in Gwinnett County and some of the other counties in Georgia. So that's sort of my Peace Corps experience in a nutshell.
Let's move to the topic of the day, and that's HIV and AIDS in the elder population. I guess my first question is this really an issue in that population? And if so, tell us about it.
It really is. Today, about 28% of people in the United States who are living with HIV and AIDS are over the age of 50. And by 2015, that will increase by another 50%. About 15% of all new HIV diagnoses in the United States every year are in older adults. So it really is an issue and a concern. At AID Gwinnett, about 20% of our medical clients are older adults. So it's definitely not just a concern for younger folks.
I guess the next question is, okay, you've established that it is an issue. Simple question, why? How?
Wait, you don't know how it works?
Well,
is it's transmitted sexually because HIV is transmitted also intravenously, right, through intravenous drugs?
Correct, and it can also be transmitted from a mother who's HIV positive
right.
to her unborn child.
So for the seniors, it's either sexually or the intravenous drug use. So which is it?
It's a little bit of both, but right now it's mainly heterosexual sexual intercourse that fuels the epidemic among seniors.
Wow. What's happening in those assisted living places, Sam?
Yeah, that's right. That was my question. Can you tell us what are the reasons for the transmission?
I think there's a variety of reasons in the senior population, just like there are among other younger groups of people. But I think one of the biggest mistakes that is made is that people who are 50 and older just don't believe that they're at risk for HIV infection. And people like myself and people who fuel funding and stuff probably have the same mistake and attitudes. And a lot of people think that people, that seniors are not sexually active and are therefore not at risk for HIV. And yet the research shows that more than half of older adults are having sex a couple of times a month. So, you know, the research proves people are having sex, but we're not addressing HIV prevention for the senior population. Over the last 20 years, most of the funding for prevention has been targeted at youth or men who have sex with men.
Right.
And so a lot of seniors just haven't had the opportunity to learn about it. When the epidemic started and when there was a lot
right.
more media about the disease and the epidemic, a lot of today's seniors had already come of age. They were
right.
married.
So they probably figured they dodged that bullet, so they don't
right.
have to worry about it
they,
anymore.
They tuned out the messages because it wasn't relevant to
right.
them. Well, some of these same seniors are now, you know, have been divorced after decades of marriage or widowed,
right.
and are at a time in their lives when they're ready to have intimate relationships again, but don't have the information that
wow.
they need. We have a 67-year-old female client who was newly infected, I think, last year or the year before.
How stunned must they be when they get the results of those tests?
Oh, it's
they must be, like, shocked.
It is. That's exactly what it is. They're devastated and shocked. But she was a very respectable woman, 67, had been widowed for a few years,
right.
And met a nice younger man in his late 50s at church. Well, mm-hmm. they developed a relationship and eventually
right.
got intimate, and he infected her with HIV.
Wow.
When she was talking to our nurse practitioner about her situation, she said at the time when she was considering whether to become intimate with this
right.
person or not, you know, she was very thoughtful about it. She considered
sure.
a lot of things.
Right.
But HIV never entered her mind.
Right.
It just wasn't a
wasn't on the radar mm-hmm. at all.
What was her partner aware that he was a carrier of the disease?
I really don't know. I don't know.
Amazing.
Wow.
Tell us a little bit. You spoke about the shock that this individual. Tell us a little bit about the stigma or what
yeah.
the psychological
right,
aspect.
Like what's the next step for her once you give her this information? What happens next?
Well, for most people, they get into our medical services
mm-hmm.
And are very well taken care of, both medically. Our clinic at A. Gwinnett does HIV treatment in addition to primary care for people who are HIV positive.
Right.
So, you know, if they've got other medical concerns, they can be handled there. But for most people, when they first find out, it is very shocking. One thing that we found with our older clients is they suffer from a lot more stigma than our younger clients. They're very ashamed. They're
yeah. How do they tell their kids?
Most of them don't.
Wow.
In fact, I had asked several of our senior clients to come with me today, and none of them wanted to be on the radio because they were afraid that their voice would be recognized.
Right.
If I asked any of our clients who were younger than 50 to come out,
right.
I would have had several people willing to come.
Sure.
People are very afraid of being found out that they're positive. My nurse practitioner told me the other day that oftentimes it's only the medical staff that our senior clients will talk to about their disease. They won't tell their children. And another problem is a lot of the senior clients don't have the basic information about HIV, so they're afraid to hug their grandchildren.
Wow.
And, you know, they wow. isolate themselves because they don't want people to find out that they're infected.
Now, once they get infected, that's the end for them to have sex in their mind for a lot of them? They're, like, ashamed and they're just shut down emotionally?
I think initially that happens for almost anybody at any age when they find out they're infected. But over time and working with people like in our medical clinic, they'll learn that they can enjoy sex. They just have to make sure they have protected sex
right.
every time.
Right.
I want to go back to this case that you had, and maybe I can broaden the question. But in this case, when she discovered that she was infected, was this an accidental discovery and she was getting a blood test for something else? They did a routine test, or was she having symptoms that they were trying to figure out what was wrong with her? And I guess to broaden that, how do most people find out? Is it because of a routine blood test where they're just routinely checking?
Because they're not getting tested for it on purpose.
Right.
Well, to be honest, I don't know what her particular situation was in terms of how she found out about her disease. Most people, it would most likely be symptomatic. And the problem with HIV disease is that the symptoms mimic a lot of other mm-hmm. diseases, especially the diseases you would expect in the senior population.
Mm-hmm.
Now, last year, Adrian was kind enough to invite me to talk with seniors in different senior centers and community events. And since then, we've actually seen an increase in the number of seniors that have come into A. Gwinnett and gotten an HIV test. So just creating an awareness among people that, you know, if they put themselves at risk in the past, they should get an HIV test really proved very helpful to us. Like most nonprofits, though, A. Gwinnett really doesn't have the resources to market and advertise our testing program. So it's very difficult to interest, you know, people, especially right. seniors, in testing. So we really rely on partnerships like we have with Adrian Noble and, you know, people like yourselves that are kind enough mm. to allow us to talk about HIV in the senior population.
Kyle, you mentioned that the virus, the symptoms mimic many other what you would consider normal aging processes. Can you speak to what the complications might be in treating AIDS in an elderly population?
Well, it just gets more complex because seniors often suffer from other diseases like diabetes, hypertension, maybe congestive heart failure. So they're really getting a variety of pharmaceuticals to help them manage these other conditions. And then to add in the HIV medications, you know, the physicians and the nurse practitioners just have to be very thoughtful of how everything is going to impact each other in the body. And I do know that certain conditions, the treatment regimen is changed if the person is HIV positive. So if a doctor is treating someone and doesn't realize they're positive, they may not be giving them the best treatment for that other condition.
Are there specialists that deal with the HIV, the AIDS epidemic?
Mm-hmm. There are.
With respect to seniors, I think.
Yeah, well, that's another. Yeah, that was a follow-up.
Not that I know of in respect to seniors. There are infectious disease doctors. We actually have an infectious disease doctor that sees our clients a couple times a week in addition to our nurse practitioner and our registered nurses. So our clients actually get probably the best care that you could get for your HIV disease. A lot of people will say, well, you know, will my treatment be as good as Magic Johnson's? If you come to Aid Gwinnett, it will be. We have excellent providers.
But you know, we raise an issue that's fairly significant here, which is the drugs to treat AIDS could have some interactions with drugs they're already taking. And if a doctor, if a geriatric care physician isn't particularly up to speed on the drugs that are used for AIDS, which would be, you know, something you would expect because they're not typically treating patients with AIDS. You know, there could be some issues there.
Yeah, and I think there's a big difference between whether the physician is aware of the person's status or not. And if they're aware of the person's HIV status, I think they can refer them to either, you know, clinics like Aid Gwinnett's or to an infectious disease doctor so that they will be well cared for. I think the biggest problem, though, is treating people that are positive and the physician and the person don't know it. Mm-hmm. There's been research that shows very few doctors will speak to their patients over 50 about sex. So if your doctor's not even talking to you about sex,
where are you going to get the information?
Exactly, exactly.
Now, you mentioned symptoms a few times. Can you talk about what some of those symptoms are?
Really differ, you know, per individual, but you would see things like sudden weight loss for no reason, night sweats, swollen lymph nodes. If you see something like tuberculosis and certain cancers in a younger person, that would be a red flag for HIV, but not necessarily so for a senior. So you can understand why a lot of times
it's difficult.
They're underdiagnosed.
Yeah, the coordination of care with a non-HIV elder or aged individual is complicated enough, and then you throw this on top of it, the coordination is virtually non-existent. It's got to be very difficult.
It is, and the sad part of it is prevention is relatively easy. Yeah. So it's much easier to prevent infection than it is to treat it for anybody, let alone someone who's a senior.
Now, you had mentioned statistics about this, but what is it in terms of percentages of seniors? Do you know the percentage of seniors that have HIV?
In the United States right now, it's about 28% of people living with HIV AIDS are seniors, And
do you know the reverse of how many in the senior population, what percentage has HIV?
No, I don't.
No, none of that. But that's still a lot of the HIV patients being seniors. I bet the average person had no idea. No.
Yeah, and about a fifth of our client load at Aid Gwinnett are seniors.
A fifth? Wow. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, and we've got, you know, that big baby boomer bubble.
There's only going to be more seniors coming.
Yeah.
And a lot of seniors have not been diagnosed. So I think the numbers.
That's just the ones you know about.
The numbers are very small.
What do you think it is that have been that aren't diagnosed? Could it be, you know, another 50% more or double that amount?
I would hate to go that far, but, you know, I'm sure it's significantly more.
It's a significant number.
Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah. Now, once a person is diagnosed, like, what's their prognosis? You know, if they can begin treatment.
It really depends on where in their course of their HIV disease they're diagnosed. So if someone was newly infected within the last couple of years and found out, like, say, today, the virus really would not have had a lot of time to damage their immune system.
Right.
And this is just generalities because we're all different.
Sure.
So, you know, some people get sick a lot and some people don't.
Right.
But the problem is some people will live many years with HIV because in the first 5 to 10 years, there really are no symptoms that the person is infected. So they can live without knowing that they're infected for many years, and if they wait till they start to get sick before they take a HIV test, then their treatment is more complicated and, of course, may not be as effective. The medications that we have today, we know are very effective. They can extend people's lifespan probably 15 to 20 years, and those are the drugs that have been around that long, so we've been able to research them.
And it's only getting better, right?
The drugs that have come out in probably the last 5 years will most likely extend people's lifespan mainly to their normal lifespan.
Wow.
But, of course, it'll be some years before we have the research.
For sure, right.
Yeah. And then, of course, a lot depends on how compliant a person is with their therapy. There's a lot of different regimens. Some people will get infected with a type of virus that might be resistant to certain classifications of drugs, and so they can't take those. And so it can get very complicated very quickly. Mm. But for people who get into treatment, they can stay healthy and live a lot longer than if they don't know they're infected.
It's not a death sentence like, you know, 20 years ago people thought it was.
Right? Not at all. In fact, when I do HIV testing nowadays, I don't like to tell someone they're HIV positive, but it doesn't really hurt me like it did years ago because I know there's so much hope for them.
Yeah.
They'll live a long time.
Right. Given the sensitivity of the topic and given that the majority of our listeners are either professionals in the senior service community or sons and daughters, you know, loved ones. Mm-hmm. What piece of advice would you have to that group, again, given the sensitivity of this topic, in terms of approaching their loved ones or even approaching their patients on this topic?
I think they have to be thoughtful in how they introduce the topic. Because sometimes, you know, if you don't do it just right, you can offend people, and especially, you know, older people can be a little bit more sensitive about sexual issues than maybe the younger generations. A lot of times, especially professionals, just maybe having pamphlets available or posters around can stimulate conversation. So it's not that I think you particularly need to hear about this, but this is just information we have out there for all our clients or people who are coming into our office. And there are a lot of HIV awareness days throughout the year that we've seen a lot of businesses and other organizations sort of piggyback, you know, as opportunities to get the information out there. So World AIDS Day, they may have some kind of event or whatever, just, you know, so it's a little more non-threatening to get the information out.
And would you say that for family members, you know, maybe one avenue for them might be to try to get their healthcare professionals involved so that they don't have to have that sensitive conversation with their mother or father?
That's a great idea. Another thing you can do with family members that has worked well for a lot of people is to wait for something to come on the radio or the TV about HIV and use that as a springboard to discuss, oh, Mom, did you know that?
Right.
You know, has your doctor talked to you about that sort of thing?
Right. Yeah. Great.
Well, we certainly appreciate it, Kyle. This is a fantastic, interesting topic, and we appreciate your coming on the air with us. Let's move over.
Can you share your contact information?
I'd be happy to. And again, I want to thank you for the opportunity to be here today. Probably the best way to contact me would be through our website, which is aidgwinnett.org. Or at 678-990-6430.
And that's aid, not AIDS, right? It's not plural.
Correct. Right. AIDGWINNETT.
www.cleveland.org.
Perfect.
Okay, we appreciate it. Now we'll move over to Adrian Noble. Good morning, Adrian. How are you today?
Good morning. I'm well, thank you.
Let's just cut to the chase, and let's just ask a direct question. What has been your experience in this arena? Tell us, you were the person who suggested this topic. Why? And kind of take it from there.
Well, as Kyle mentioned earlier, I'm a part of a task force, Senior Issues Task Force, which is was formed through the Gwinnett County Health and Human Services Division. The group is charged with looking at the dynamics of issues pertaining to seniors. And from that, we attempt to do a number of things. It doesn't necessarily mean we take on the task of figuring out how to fix it, but delegating it to the appropriate people. Mm-hmm. So two things that came from that was caregivers raising grandchildren, grandparents raising grandchildren, and AIDS in the senior community. And so we, as Kyle mentioned earlier, brought her involved because they are the experts, and we had no knowledge about it, but we knew that it was a situation. From my seat as information and referral specialist, I do get phone calls in regards to clients who come to us for other related conditions, debilitating diabetes, arthritis, and are in need of homebound services. But in the dialogue, in the conversation, which is usually at the very tail end of the intake process, you've discovered that someone has been diagnosed with HIV. So the initiative of Senior Issues Task Force was to make it aware that this is a situation, that this is a reality, and that it's something that we need to address. So Kyle came aboard, and she did this fabulous game, and we realized how naive, as even though the collaborative involves community-based organizations who deal with the senior population. So you think we would know. We would know that this is an issue, and we were all failing that class because it was a very informative game that really opened our eyes to the situation, and so that brought in a number of things, including a conference to invite people in and talk about this issue.
Well, I can say that when you mentioned this topic off the air the last time you were with us, I was dumbfounded, and talk about being naive. Mm-hmm. And this is my business, is being in the senior market. Mm-hmm. And I concur that, as Brad mentioned, this might be a difficult and sensitive topic, but I certainly think it's warranted, and what we can do to bring information to the public about this, we need to.
And I think it's what Kyle said earlier. There's such a stigmatism associated with it. It touches base on your sexuality or, you know, what is your preference. And we're so busy being in someone's bedroom instead of looking at the condition in and of itself. And we are still in denial about how you get it. Even decades later, you find people still not wanting to use a glass that has been, you know, used by someone who has been diagnosed. There's still so many negative stereotypes, associated with it.
And misinformation.
Absolutely.
And a reluctance to talk about it, because I don't know anybody that wants to talk to their parents about their sexual activity.
We don't want to talk to our parents about not driving anymore.
We don't want to think about our parents being sexually active. And again, part of the problem.
Right.
Part of the problem.
Absolutely.
Now, what was it like when you got that first case of somebody diagnosed with AIDS? Were you just like, really? Like, were you kind of surprised?
Well, I'm a New Yorker, so I'm not shocked by much.
I know, but it was probably out of the norm. You weren't.
I'm not shocked too often. But, you know, you have to have compassion because, as we've stated, it is not an easy discussion to have. And usually when you hear about the diagnosis, it's at the very tail end of the intake. It's almost by accident that someone has shared the information, and certainly we follow HIPAA rules and regulations. Everything is confidential. You explain that before they even tell you that the person has, you know, diabetes, but it is still so overwhelming for someone to share. And I think often too, people separate one from the other. They separate diabetes and arthritis and heart conditions from HIV.
Right. Well, diabetes is in most people's mind a normal aging process. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I can't say that most people think about contraction of AIDS is a normal aging process.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think, too, as Kyle mentioned earlier, our seniors are more, they might be even more sexually active than they have been in the past. We know about Viagra, and people are living longer because of medications. So we are healthier in aging, and so we are active. And so we have a naivete that it can't happen to me because I'm dealing with someone that was married for 50 years and now they're a widow, and so I'm good.
Right. It's not, they were faithful to a relationship. Mm-hmm. The relationship now is over due to death or divorce, mm-hmm. and it's just normal human life processes. Mm-hmm. Interesting. I'd like to open it up to both of you now and talk about senior populations living in senior communities. Mm. Talk to us about, I know there's a disproportion between females and males, and just let's just open it up and talk about that issue.
Take it away, Kyle.
Well, we know that women tend to live longer than men. So in the senior living situations, whether it's a nursing home or assisted living or just a senior community, you would most likely have a lot more women than men.
Right.
And so what happens is this kind of a weird dynamic where sort of like the one rooster in the hen house. So you have a situation where people are having multiple partners. And we know that one of the risk factors for HIV infection is having more than one sex partner. And I don't think people really look at it that way, that they're having multiple sex partners, because they may just be with this one man, but he's going around and having intimate relations with several women.
So the women are unaware of that?
You know, sometimes they are, and they understand the situation, but often they're not. So it's just, that can vary as well.
And it's a fact of our society where we are today that multiple partners is accepted. Now, I don't want to get into the moral issues there, but it obviously is.
Yeah. But some of these guys were probably not having multiple partners prior to going to these facilities, right?
They might have been, but they now have more opportunity to do that.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and I think, we have to be, we can't be naive about the fact that as people age and they are impacted by dementia-related illnesses, one of the things related to that is a loss of inhibition, or maybe you have the little old church lady that suddenly curses like a sailor. Mm-hmm. And, it's the same thing. And we had actually a client where I went and did the intake, and he had a stack of books from Amazon that had just been delivered, and one of them was called Sex in Public Places. This is and the man clearly had some dementia-related issues going on, but he was fixated on this, and he did have multiple partners in that one facility, and it was driving the facility nuts.
Mm-hmm. Right. Sure.
And we've seen individuals with dementia that lose the intimate relationship with the current with their spouse take on a whole new behavior.
Mm-hmm. Persona.
Yeah. Well, that's part of the condition. Also, too, we don't often talk about the fact that the senior has grown with the disease. We're talking about something we've known about for decades now, and so they contracted HIV in their younger age, and they are living with it, growing with it. And if they, sometimes you have to take your regimen of medications, but you're not necessarily still practicing the right behavior. Because, again, and I found this out recently, and help me out here, Kyle, that you can be reinfected in that, you have a particular strain.
Right.
And then you deal with someone with a different strain.
That's very interesting, right. Because a lot of people probably think, well, I've got it now, so.
Mm-hmm. And the reason that that's important is that if I were HIV positive living with one strain and I got reinfected with another strain, that second strain may be resistant to certain drugs HIV medications that I no longer have access to because I've now been reinfected with a different strain.
Is that like the flu, where there's different strains of the flu and there's different treatments?
I'm not a medical person, but that would make sense to me.
So we have to look at all of the dynamics mm-hmm. that are involved. And my biggest thing, again, is educating people. I think the more we get the word out,
right.
it is very sad that even though HIV/AIDS is still there, we don't talk about it anymore. It's mm-hmm. quietly disappeared. We don't bring it to the table. We are still embarrassed to have it as a discussion.
How are these over 55 and the assisted livings and all these senior related places where people live, are they addressing it at all, or I guess each place
again,
vary?
And I can't, you know, state
for all,
it
right.
for them all, but I would think the answer is no. A lot of them are socially driven. I'm retired. I'm in a vacation style mode.
Right, so they don't even want to think about it.
Right, my social gatherings are about meeting my people and talking about my grandchildren and all those other things, not a topic like this.
I think it'd have to be a very progressive organization mm-hmm. to go to their paying population that is there for typically social
right.
relationships and bring this topic to the table.
But those are opportunities for you people to speak, right? Mm-hmm. Like that's where you would want to speak, right?
Mm-hmm. And sometimes these senior centers have been very creative in asking us to come in, and the way we couch right. the
finesse it a little,
right? The conversation is, you know, this isn't really so much for you, but you need
but you
to know
might
this
know
information.
Someone.
No, well, really for your
right.
grandchildren. Because
right.
we know that seniors have a lot of influence on their children, and particularly
right.
their grandchildren. And it's true. I mean, the more they would know about HIV, the more they can
right.
help their children and
sure.
grandchildren. So sometimes that makes it a little bit more acceptable in terms of speaking to groups
wow.
of seniors in a
that's
setting that's more socially
I
driven.
I also wonder about how some of these facilities are addressed it with family members, or if they are. I mean, certainly you've got HIPAA issues,
mm-hmm.
and just
mm-hmm.
like, you know, you've got issues with children not being required to
mm-hmm.
tell their parents, and
mm-hmm.
the school not being
mm-hmm.
able to communicate
mm-hmm.
it. I imagine there's some issues
mm-hmm.
going the other
mm-hmm.
way too.
Mm-hmm. I just think we have to have a broader perspective of what we are charged to do as a group. I mean, I'm certainly appreciative of this show, but not many people are willing to take on this topic. And so I think the more we're on the forefront and kind of forcing our way in, people will relax a little bit more
mm-hmm.
and get it out there. But, you know, using any tricks we can to get it.
So, and now Gwinnett County has a partnership with Aid Gwinnett. Can you talk a little bit about how the partnership works and what is Gwinnett County doing versus what is Aid Gwinnett doing and how do you work together?
Well, again, the Senior Issues Task Force, which is part of the Gwinnett Coalition, the coalition is really mindful about addressing the issues of the community at large, whatever that might be. And it's not directly the county, and I'm involved because of senior services and the issue, the task force is directly about seniors. But the coalition is really mindful about addressing all of those pockets that we often forget and don't look at. And so as a resource person, my collaborative would always be with any community organization, because that is what I'm charged to do, to get information to clients. When I do an assessment over the phone, it really is to understand the dynamics of someone's situation, no matter what it is, no matter what it entails, and get them the correct information. So I always try to be involved as much as I can to know the details. Certainly, I'm not the expert, but I should know who the experts are and refer appropriately. So that's what the county is charged to do, just being connected to know who our community folk are so that we can refer appropriately.
And we were very fortunate last year. Adrienne and her group had set up several awareness talks for Aid Gwinnett to do in some senior communities, and we were able to do a few. But unfortunately, about halfway through the year, I lost 2/3 of my prevention staff. So that really limited our ability to go out and speak to seniors about HIV.
Expand on that just a little bit. The seminars that you did, how were they received?
They were well received in the end. It was very interesting when I would first walk into the room, there'd be a big group of seniors, and, you know, several people would make it their business to come up and tell me that, you know, they didn't need mm-hmm. this talk. They knew all about it, or, you know, whatever. But because like Adrian said earlier, we've learned not to do a lecture or even discussion. We really come in with some kind of activity to get people actively involved in learning the information. So by the end, you know, a lot of people were involved in the activities, asked a lot of questions. There was a lot of discussion. And from the nature of a lot of the questions, it was clear to me that there was a lack of basic information about HIV and how it passes from person to person. And afterwards, you know, and other people would come up and, you know, thank me for being there and, you know, tell me their little stories about someone they knew or whatever. So in the end, I think they're very well received. When I hear the questions, I know that, you know, people needed us to be there and give them that information, those facts. But initially, people aren't real happy when we walk in the room.
I can imagine.
Sometimes turnouts aren't large, but if we get five people and can share that information with five people, that's five people we know are okay, and they're going to share that information.
Mm-hmm.
So
of course.
Any turnout is good.
Yeah.
I do want to ask, you know, you are both from Gwinnett County, and we've got listeners, you know, all over Atlanta and beyond. Are there organizations that you're aware of that would support the metro area or maybe even national organizations where you know, of course, there are lots of organizations that support AIDS patients, but are there others that you know of that deal particularly with the senior population?
I don't really know of any local organization that deals specifically with seniors and HIV. And I would guess that that's just because there's really no funding to support that. I mean, we're having a very difficult time getting prevention for young people and other populations funded. So seniors are just, you know, funding HIV prevention for seniors is just not even on the radar.
What about AIDS in general in the metro area?
There's lots of HIV AIDS service organizations in metro Atlanta, specifically downtown Atlanta, that would help, you know, people in other counties to get information to their senior groups.
Kyle, now AIDS Gwinnett, though, just is not specific to Gwinnett County. What other areas?
Well, we provide service in the East Metro Health District, which is Gwinnett, Rockdale, and Newton counties. But most of our clients, about 80% of our clients, do reside in Gwinnett.
And if somebody called you that happened to live in Fulton County, you would you refer them?
I would refer them to the agency that could help them.
Okay.
Great.
So, Adrian, let's come back to you for a tip for our listeners.
It's always educate. That is what I'm here to do. I want to educate people on what's going on with our senior population. Unfortunately, seniors are the least regarded in terms of being cared for, which is really a sad condition, but it's the case.
The forgotten population.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it is our most special population, and I'm not just saying that because I work for senior services, but there's such a wealth of information and reward from dealing with the senior population. It's amazing, and I just want to be an advocate for seniors and just make people aware that the services that we need are there in very small pockets, and we really need to get community involved. A lot of times I get phone calls because I'm a government agency, and we assume that the government agency has this host of services that it provides, but the government can't take care of everything. It's a community effort, and that means private organizations, corporations, everybody in place to understand the dynamic. So I want to educate people on what those concerns are.
And remind our listeners how they can reach you, Adrian.
Okay, I'm over at Gwinnett County Senior Services. I can be reached on phone at area code 678-377-4150. My email is my name, adrian.noble@gwinnettcounty.com. And then we have our website, which is gwinnettseniorservices.com.
Very good. Well, thank you to both of you for being on the show today. It's been extremely informative.
Fantastic. Thank you.
And to our listeners, thanks for tuning in. To listen to this show after the fact, go to www.ugeriaradio.com. And remember, if children are our nation's greatest asset, seniors are our nation's greatest treasure. Tune in at the same time next week for another great edition of Ujiria Radio.
Ujiria Radio is sponsored by Griswold Special Care and is recorded in the Business Radio X Studios.